Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven.
Amen. Thank you, everybody. Let's hear it for all of our readers. Thank you very much. Let's pray together, shall we, church? Let's just take a moment. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity once again just to come together around your word. And we ask now that you would speak to us. We ask that you would guide us and direct us. Jesus, as we look to you as our ultimate example, as the Prince of Peace, we pray that in this moment, you would just come and reveal yourself to us afresh and anew as the source of peace. Holy Spirit, just guide us, lead us, speak to us, we pray. Amen. Amen. Did anybody spot the pattern there of our readers? I don't want to give away anything about their kind of private information, but we did go in age order there. We had somebody representing each decade that is represented in our church family. So thank you to our brilliant readers there. Today, we land on blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Now, obviously, a lot is happening in our world right now, and we're going to talk about it in some way. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us, we already have, and to just guide us and lead us. But before we do that, seamless link, let's talk about where is your go-to place to eat? That was the question we were asking before. So does anybody want to shout out some answers for me? Tesco. Oh, Pesto, sorry. Excellent. Pesto. On the beachfront in Palma Nova. Lovely. Did I hear one here? TGI's? Somewhere in Liverpool. Was that a restaurant in Liverpool, is it, Michael? Brownlee? Bramley. Excellent. Any more? Go on, Van. Christakis. Lovely. Janet? The Indian restaurant in Penkiff. Is that Anmol? That's a good one. I don't know if that's... Woodlands, wonderful. Any more? Let's have some more. Lovely. Is that nice? Excellent. Fantastic. Well, it's funny how quickly you can realize that unity is a fragile thing. You see, we are a family of four in our house. And so when we say, let's eat out together, quite quickly there are some different ideas around what that might look like. If I'm paying the bill, I have the final decision. That's the way I look at it. But suddenly everyone has a different opinion. There's different cravings. There's different ideas about what makes a good meal. And then you realize we're not all aligned here. And that's why I think food halls are an amazing invention. Have you ever been to a food hall? Is it the Orient at the Trafford Centre or Cargo in Manchester or there's one in Liverpool that slipped my mind now. But so many of these places where the great thing about these food halls is that there's something for everyone. And so there's this unity that comes through the variety that you get. And I think that's maybe a picture of the church today. There's this unity that we can experience, despite there being so much variety here in the church. But let's test something for a moment, because it doesn't take much for division to appear, does it? So I need some audience participation. Are you up for that? Good. Sounds like it. I'm going to ask a few questions, and you're allowed to just express your opinion however that kind of comes to you. I want you to react honestly. Don't overthink it. Are you ready? I'm still not convinced you're ready yet, but let's try it anyway. Okay. What do you think of Sprouts? Yay! Yes! I thought, there we go. Okay. There we go. What do you think about pineapple on pizza? Hands up for yes. Hands up for no. I'm with the yes crowd personally. Okay, this one's potentially risky, but we'll give it a go. Nigeria or Ghana, who makes the best jollof rice? Okay, I'm not going to settle that one today. I was just trying to make something of an observation there. Okay, how about Vikings, Wolves, or Saints? Rugby teams, that is, if you're not aware. I don't really care about your opinion on the Vikings or... rugby teams. So let's have it again. Quite mixed, but we do have a Vikings player in our midst, in our presence, don't we, Ian? So let's hear it for the Vikings. Okay. Are you ready for this one? Red or blue?
Red, white.
And those of you that you don't care, let's hear it. If you don't really care, a few of you there. There we go. Some instant opinions, some instant reactions, and some instant sides have been taken, and we're only talking about food and sport. It's amazing how quickly we divide the room into, we divide the world into what I like and what I don't like, or who's with me and who's against me. And I realized I may have just caused some more division than unity, potentially even an international incident, I think. But it proves how quickly division can come in our lives, doesn't it? So let's take a deep breath. And let's turn our attention to the kind of unity that Jesus invites us into. Because division shows up in the smallest of places, but it also shows up in the deeper parts of lives too. Shows up in our relationships, in our marriages, our friendships, our families, our workplaces, in politics, in church community at times, doesn't it? And if we zoom out further, we see it globally. And I prepared this message earlier in the week, but the Global Peace Index says this. It says that we are at the highest level of conflict in our world right now since World War II. We have nearly 60 active conflicts around the globe right now. And of course, that's only been amplified by what's going on in the world at the moment. And so it's into my family dinner debate and the global conflict and everything else in between that Jesus speaks these words, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." And so today we're going to explore what Jesus means by peacemaking. And we'll do it through three simple movements together. First of all, we'll find that peace is active. It's not passive. And then together we'll look at how Jesus forms us into peacemakers. And finally, how peacemaking reflects the heart of God. And so, firstly, peace is active, not passive. Peace is something that many of us want and long for at times, but it's not something that always comes naturally because we're all wired differently, aren't we? I think Lois intimated towards this last week, but we're all wired differently when it comes to conflict. Some of us run towards conflict. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up. Others run away from conflict, and most of us sit somewhere in between. But wherever you land, We all know what it feels like when peace is missing in a certain situation or relationship or whatever it might be. Maybe right now, as you're here today, there's an area in your life that feels unsettled. Perhaps it's a strained relationship, or it's a difficult conversation that you have had, or you know that you need to have with somebody, or there's just this lingering tension that leaves you feeling like peace isn't present. And if peace is going to happen, it doesn't happen by accident. The biblical idea of peace is rooted in this word, shalom. And shalom means wholeness, it means harmony, and it means life as it should be. Shalom isn't just about the absence of fighting, but it's about the presence of right relationships. Peace isn't about pretending that everything is fine. It's things being made right. Today we're talking, Jesus tells us about being peacemakers, but there's a difference between being a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. A peacekeeper tries to maintain the status quo, and a peacemaker moves towards reconciliation. So, for example, you might have perhaps a tough situation around the Christmas dinner table with your family, and you are there to be the peacekeeper. You're just trying to make sure that somehow, in some way, you don't all fall out over the sprouts. But then being a peacemaker is to actively do something to try and bring reconciliation to those relationships. There's a difference between the two. And being a peacemaker is a harder calling. And I think this becomes even more powerful. What we've been doing throughout this series, looking at the Beatitudes, we've been trying at times to reflect on who is it that Jesus is talking to? Who is Jesus' audience when he shares these Beatitudes? And when we realize the context and who Jesus is speaking to, it takes on a whole new level of meaning and understanding. You see, first century Jewish culture was very divided. Jesus, as a Jew, was living in an occupied land called Israel, and it was occupied by the Roman Empire. And there were four major groups who were shaping the conversation around how peace should come at a time of living under Roman occupation. The first group of people are called the Sadducees. Say the Sadducees for me. Sadducees. Now, they were all about keeping the peace through power. They were the wealthy religious elites who they chose to work with Rome in order to maintain stability and power. The second group were called the Pharisees. Can you say Pharisees for me? They were all about keeping peace through faithful living. They decided that the only way that they were going to stay pure to God is to create new rules and regulations for the Jewish people in order to stop them from becoming like a Roman. And so they were devoted to Scripture, but they were also devoted to many other things that they created at the time, rules for people to follow. The third group, say, Essenes. They were all about keeping peace through separation. And so their tactic under Roman rule was to escape and to withdraw from society. They believed that to keep holiness meant to be separated from the people. And then finally, we've got the Zealots. Can you say Zealots for me? And the Zealots were all about keeping peace through force. They believed that peace would come through revolution and through resistance. And so this is the four different visions of peace that Jesus was speaking to in his time, in his day. But I think as we reflect on all that is going on in the world right now, it's fair to say that not a lot has changed, has it? In some way, all four of those visions and ideas of peace are active in our world today. And it's into that tension that Jesus says the good life belongs to the peacemakers. Not the collaborators, not the separatists, not the violent. But Jesus says the good life belongs to those who step into conflict with the way of love. Jesus says the good life belongs to those who step into conflict with the way of love. And that's what we need in our world today, is it not? The way of love. If peace is active and it's not passive, then the question becomes, how do we actually become people who live like this? And this is where the Beatitudes that we've been looking at and reading over the last few weeks together show us something really helpful and really beautiful. They show us that Jesus is forming us into peacemakers. Jesus is forming us into peacemakers. As pastor and theologian David Bailey explains, he says the Beatitudes move in three different movements. First, they show us who the good life belongs to. Then they show us how we are formed. And finally, the final three Beatitudes, which we're beginning from this week, they show us what it looks like to live this all out in our lives as followers of Jesus. So peacemaking, it's not a random thing. It doesn't happen by accident. It is fruit of a life that is shaped by Jesus. Peace is, of course, one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so if the middle three Beatitudes are really about how we are being formed, then it's there that's going to help us reflect on what it means to be a peacemaker. And so if you cast your minds back a few weeks, we looked together at blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We become peacemakers when we learn to hunger for a world made right. And we look together at how we're all being formed by something. We're all being formed by news cycles or social media or different opinions that we hear perhaps in the staff room at work. And so we have to ask ourselves, what does it look like for us to be shaped by Jesus, to be hungry and thirsty for his righteousness? And I think one simple practice that we could perhaps all look to put in place in our lives is to fast from media in some way, and at the same time to feast on God's word. And I don't know about you, but the last 24 hours, I know I have been looking at a lot of media, constantly checking, reading, looking, and suddenly my mind is being formed and shaped by different opinions, by different things that I'm seeing. And actually, it's really good, isn't it, just to take a breath and just to get ourselves back into what God has to say, to remind ourselves of who he is. And it was great this morning. The song was planned on Tuesday, but we sang these words today. He's seated high in authority, yet lives inside of you and me. Our God, he reigns forever. Earthly power will fade away, but Jesus' rule, it will never end. Our God, he reigns forever. That's truth today that we need to be reminding ourselves as followers of Jesus. Earthly power, wherever you stand, on whatever side of politics you are, it will fade away. But Jesus' reign, it will never end. And you know, fasting from media and feasting on God's word, it's not... Amen. They agree. Hopefully everything is okay in there. I'm sure it is, parents. Yeah, amen. But instead of being formed today by headlines, by clickbait, and by the constant stream of voices, it's about being shaped by the heart of Jesus. And so together we need to know what it is to hunger and thirst for righteousness. The second beatitude that's forming and shaping is a blessed are the merciful. You see, peacemakers are people of mercy. And that matters because, as we've said, the world, it often trains us to decide who deserves compassion. The world is trying to shape us and form us and to tell us who is worthy of mercy and who is not worthy of mercy. But God's mercy, it interrupts that logic. You see, mercy remembers that we are all... I've lost my train again. Is everybody okay back there? I'm sure everybody's all right. Mercy reminds us who we are apart from God's grace. Mercy reminds us who we are because of God's kindness. Mercy reminds us that it's not something that we've earned. There's nothing that we can do to deserve it, and there's nothing that we will do that will take it away from us. God's mercy and God's grace and God's compassion is available to all, no matter who we are. And when we live it out, when we live out God's mercy with that awareness, we become slower to condemn others, and we become quicker to understand. And in a world that rewards outrage, mercy is revolutionary if we're going to be peacemakers. And then finally, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. And as Lois talked about last week, that's all about this inner alignment. It's not just what we do, but it's why do we do it? Because it's possible in our world today to pursue justice, but to pursue it with anger that dehumanizes people. It's possible to be right, but not to be loving. And so purity of heart, as Jesus talks about it, asks us, hey, what's happening inside you right now? And it reminds us that before anybody is a problem to solve, they are a person who is made in the image of God. And that changes how we look at people. That changes how we disagree with one another. We don't reduce people to the political position that they stand on. We don't treat opponents as enemies. We see image bearers who are flawed, who are complex, but who are loved by God, just like I am, just like you are. And when our hearts are shaped like that, peacemaking becomes possible. And this is how Jesus shapes our hearts. So peacemaking becomes a way of life in us, not just an idea. And this leads us to the final movement then, that peacemaking reflects the heart of God. Jesus doesn't just teach peacemaking, he embodies it. And so when we look to Jesus, we see that he is called the Prince of Peace. We see after the resurrection, as he appeared to the disciples, what was the first thing that he said to them? He said, peace be with you. We just turn to the person next to you and just say, peace be with you. And turn to the other person next to you and say, peace be with you too. And then when Jesus is arrested, what does his overzealous, passionate disciple do to one of the guards with a sword? He cuts his ear off. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, absolutely, violence is the way of my kingdom. Come on, let's take them all down. No, he doesn't. He reaches out. First of all, he rebukes Peter. And he reaches out and he heals the man's ear. You see, in the middle of violence, what is Jesus all about? He's all about peace. He's all about restoration. That is who Jesus is. And there are so many things in the world today that are trying to shape who our perception should be of what a good leader is and what a bad leader is. But church, can I remind us all today that earthly power will fade away, but Jesus' kingdom, the way of Jesus, it will rule forever. It will never end. And his kingdom today is a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of humility. It's a kingdom that is seeking to break down divides, to bring restoration. That's who we follow. That's who we as a church unashamedly follow. And so as we grapple with what's going on in the world, as we grapple with perhaps things that are going on in our own lives, the way that people might be treating us today, I remind you, Jesus is our Savior. He is our Restorer. He is our Redeemer. And His way, His kingdom, is a way of love, it's a way of mercy, and it's a way of peace. It's not passive, it's not weak. His way is the way of courageous love. And it's that action that moves us towards peace rather than away from it. But here's the reality for us all today. Peacemaking is costly. Because it asks something of us. It asks something of our time. It asks something of our energy. It asks something of our humility. And I shared a story a few weeks ago of when I was in a post office and I had an awkward moment with somebody and a tense conversation arose up. And I had the opportunity to step into peacemaking. But instead, I chose the quickest exit. I chose to be a peacekeeper and not a peacemaker. And if I'm honest, it's because in that moment, in that time, it felt inconvenient. It felt too costly. But that's the choice that we all face in our lives. It's whether peace is worth the cost. Jesus says, peacemakers will be called children of God. It means that when we make peace, we reflect the character of our Father. It means that when we choose to be peacemakers, we're aligning our identity with our Father in heaven. That's how we'll be known that we are His followers. It's what shows us that we represent His kingdom. And so here's our 10% stretch. Each week throughout the series, we're giving you a way to respond, something to do. And it's very simple. This week, notice where or when you feel a tension or a conflict in your life, in the world around you right now. And ask yourself this question. In fact, don't ask yourself, ask God. Speak to God about this. Bring that tension to Him. Bring that conflict to Him. And say, God, what would one step towards peace look like in this situation? What would one step look like? And I know that for each of us today, the places where peace feels fragile, they look quite different, I'm sure, at the moment. For some, it could be a friendship that just feels awkward, or maybe it's tension that you're facing at school at the moment, or it's a conversation that you've been avoiding having with somebody. For others, it could be something within your family. Maybe there's a relationship that feels strained, or a situation that at the moment is unresolved. And for some in our church community, the absence of peace is something that you are carrying in your heart right now for your homeland and your community. Whatever it looks like for you today, this challenge, this stretch, it's not about trying to fix everything. It's about continuing this journey that we're on as a church, that Jesus has been forming in us throughout this series. It's about becoming more like Him. It's about looking to see, Jesus, what does it mean this week to be a peacemaker? How can I reflect You and Your kingdom this week? And from that place, just ask Jesus that simple question. What would one step towards peace look like? Because peacemaking, it's not just something that we try harder to do. It's something that grows in us as Jesus shapes our hearts. And so as we step into this week, remember what Jesus is inviting us into. Peace is active, not passive. Jesus is forming us into peacemakers. And when we choose that path, we reflect the heart of our Father. Because the good life belongs to the peacemakers.